Hello, my friends. Welcome back. This is day two in our study on prayer. Peyton Jones will once again be your guide today as we continue through the Lord's Prayer as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Now, before we get started, I want to encourage you that you don't have to wait until you know all there is to know about prayer before you do it. And if you feel like you just don't know where to start, remember, the most important step is the one that God already took for you. He already broke the ice by creating you, by loving you, and by sending his Son to die for you so that you can be forgiven. Now, that last part is important to remember when it comes to prayer. If you feel separated from God, like there's a wall between you, well, when you're living in sin, you're right. There is a separation between you. It's sin. You wronged God, and on your own, you cannot make it right. But Jesus can. In fact, he already did. He gave his life to tear down that wall, to bridge that gap, to reconcile you and make you right with God. If you are in Christ, you and God are connected, and you are invited to come to God and pray. He wants to hear from you. But then, what should you say? How do you pray? That brings us back to our study in the Lord's Prayer. Yesterday, Pastor Peyton showed us the importance of worship in prayer. Today, we come to something difficult but essential. Today, we surrender. So let's open Matthew 6 once again and listen together as Peyton Jones guides us.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to Day 2 of Bible Basics Explained on Through the Word. Today, we'll be talking about prayer as we unpack our second part of the series of what the Bible says about prayer. When was the last time you surrendered? Was it when someone argued you into a corner on a topic and you had to cede to your opponent? They knew more than you did or were better prepared in that argument than you were? Maybe somebody got you into a full Nelson sleeper hold, forcing you to tap out or pass out. And no matter how it happens, it's never easy when we surrender to another person. But luckily for us, God isn't another person. Because the second part of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when he taught them how to pray had to do with surrender. Now remember, the Lord's Prayer is not a quick 10-second formula or magic chant. It's an outline of what bases should be covered when you pray. Remember that Jesus prayed for hours, unpacking, expanding these themes. Well, there's a famous scene in the film Shadowlands about C.S. Lewis, a famous Christian writer who penned the Chronicles of Narnia and was known as a Christian apologist. When his wife Joy was diagnosed with cancer, she lay dying in the hospital while Lewis kept going to the chapel and getting on his knees. When one of his fellow professors, an atheist at Oxford, confronted him as he came out of the chapel, he asked him, "Do you really think that prayer changes your situation?" Lewis looked at the man perplexed, saying, "You think I pray to change my circumstances? I pray because it changes me." The passage reads, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And when you begin to pray that way, you begin to change, and Jesus counted on it. Today, we'll look at prayer as surrender. In the first few verses, we prayed in worship that his kingdom would come and transition into surrender by praying, "Your will be done." And now, we'll surrender in our next few verses, all of our needs in verse 11, to him. Notice that it says, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us." Notice that your wish list, as some of it called the laundry list of prayer that people rattle off, is absent here. You see, God isn't like a Santa Claus where you sit on his lap and you say, "I want a pony and a skateboard and something terrible to happen to my brother Freddy." That stuff doesn't even enter into the prayer until halfway through. Because this is not a want list, it's a confession of need, that you need God and are fully dependent upon him for what you need. To buy bread, you need money, and for money, you need a job. And to have a job, you need to be able to work, and to be able to work, you need health. And to have health, well, you see where this is going. There is so much in that list that we can't control in our lives, like when cancer hits, as C.S. Lewis found with his newlywed wife, Joy. But prayer like this surrenders to the God who is always in control. By surrendering all of our needs to Him and asking Him to provide for us, we develop a dependent and thankful heart. We acknowledge that every good and perfect gift is from above. How that changes somebody who goes to God with that perspective every day. You see, some people list out at this part of the prayer the blessings that God gave them one by one, and they pour them back out to Him in worship and praise. But we're not done here. There's also a surrender here of grudges, anger, and resentment and bitterness. After seeing that God gives us His grace, and everything, including our needs, comes from that grace, we're here to ask that God gives us the same grace to forgive others. Therefore, we remember, "Forgive me my sins as I forgive others." Perhaps it's time to make another list in this prayer of people you just can't forgive, and to constantly pray for them and their forgiveness so that you can be free. Now, how changed might you be as you pray that kind of prayer every day? So here's the exchange to sum up. God provides everything you need, including your salvation, and then asks you give Him everything you don't need, like your bitterness, pain, and hatred. Not a bad deal. You know, it may not be easy to surrender in a game of battleship or a wrestling match, but when it's God you're surrendering to, it never feels so good.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.